I was wrong. The Boston Bruins. I said these next few games weren't going to matter a ton till they start up on this road trip. They got going towards the end of the season, I think a six-game road trip. But I'm going to tell you what. I was wrong that these games didn't really matter, these next couple, because last night's game mattered a ton. A ton. Welcome to the show, The Sports Machine with Slim. We're off and running on a Friday morning, and I have a little help this morning. Thomas Polk is on the line. I'm very glad to talk to you this morning, Thomas. I'm going to ask you some good questions.
How are you?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like Jake DeBrusk after a game winner last night. What did you think about that? I mean, did you get a chance to watch this as it was happening?
I watched most of it. I didn't see the game winner. I had playoffs in my own old man hockey division, so I watched it after the fact.
How did you guys do in the old man hockey division? Did you win?
Well, we hung in there and got the W, so we're one up here.
Yeah, well, you got the win. I mean, even you're understating this. We hung in there. I expected to hear we hung in there, but played close but lost. But no, you hung in there and got the W. What was the final score? Like 7-1?
Yeah, it was 5-1 at the end. Our goalie played well, and then our forwards got a couple of goals when we needed them in the third period. But hey, that's how it works in hockey, whatever level you're in. And I mean, you saw yesterday with the Bruins. We talked about it yesterday, right? Some of those lower teams like Montreal, who are out of the playoffs, aren't going to make it. A lot of their guys are playing for their contracts for next year. A lot of their guys playing to impress Marty St. Louis and the GMs in Montreal to show them that, hey, they are the guys going forward. And that's the way they came out and played. I mean, they were tough. They were resilient. They were doing everything right to, you know, get the W here in Boston. But our guys hung in there. They worked hard, and they got the W.
Well, we're going to talk about the W here as we go on with the show. I will say that I love this about hockey, is hockey players compete, Thomas, versus basketball, which basketball is my favorite sport. I've grown up playing it. I've played it forever. I love it. Basketball is my thing. But basketball players are kind of weak-minded and soft. I mean, just as a generalization, I will say it simply because I competed against a lot of them, and I felt them to be very soft, found them to be very soft. I guess I felt them to be very soft sometimes too, maybe. But they would quit at the end of basketball seasons here in the NBA. Let's just talk about the professional side. The NHL players, I don't see that they're going to quit because they just love to play hockey. Look at you. You played in the NHL for 5 years, and now you're on. Hey, you're still playing in old man hockey, as you call it. I would imagine it's still somewhat competitive, or else you'd be just like skating around everybody, scoring all the goals. But hockey players don't quit, and I just love how tough they are.
No, I mean, that's the competitive side, I think, that gets out of guys. And it doesn't matter where you play. Like, it means something, and everybody wants to win, right? That's just ultimately what it is. And, you know, I mean, as I said about those teams in the bottom, they have a lot of young guys they're bringing up from the American League. They have guys that are, you know, coming out of college when the college season ends that are signed into contracts. They are there to prove to everybody that, hey, we belong, right? So it doesn't matter that Montreal is out, but those guys are going to look at it and go, I'm playing for next year. I'm playing for everybody to see that I belong in this league. So those teams are tough to beat this time of year. And for the Bruins, it still matters, right? Like, we are looking to get the number one spot in our division, maybe the number one spot in the East. So, you know, they have way more to lose there than Montreal does, which makes it easier for them to play, obviously, for the Canadians than it does for the Bruins. It's always hard to beat those teams.
At some time during the game last night, Thomas, I was like, well, Montreal is outplaying us. And then at some points, I was like, well, the Bruins, we're outplaying them. Fast forward to the end. It's 1-1, and boom, we're going into overtime yet again. It's just what this team does, right? The Bruins team, win, lose, whatever, they're exciting. And we're going into overtime again, and you just kind of like, oh, no. Like, most fans, I think, would be like, oh, we're going to lose again or something like that. With typical Boston fans now that aren't real fans. They're just weak-minded and not confident in this Bruins team. But I'm sitting there going, all right, guys, let's go and get a win. Let's go and get this W. Feel good about overtime, because we've come on the short end so many times. Let's go make it happen. And Jake DeBrusk, I mean, the whole play is awesome, Thomas, because Lindholm does a great job of sealing the guy against the boards with a nice check. He gets the puck. He feeds it out. I think it was to Marchand, who carries it all the way down the ice. DeBrusk, who's been playing awesome over the last couple weeks. Marchand passes it across the ice, an incredible pass right to the stick of DeBrusk. Finishes the game 25 seconds into overtime. That thing makes a big difference in the locker room. I know that does.
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you look at the statistics of it, right, like you said, we lost a few in overtime, we lost a few in the shootout. It was just about time for them to get the W there.
Bam.
At the end of the day, they're way too good a hockey team to keep losing all these games. And you know what? Maybe that was the funk they were in for a little bit, and it's good that they're coming out on the other side. The play itself was awesome. Yeah, I mean, they defended well. They worked to get the puck out of the corner, and then they went on a quick rush, obviously. One of the very few guys in the league you want the puck on a two-on-one is Marchand. He can score goals. He can make plays. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw that pass with the little sauce pass over the defenseman's stick. And then it was a beautiful finish by DeBrusk.
So let's break
it
down.
Not much here for the goalie to save it.
No, there wasn't, because it was just perfection. Let's break it down for all three players and the mental impact I think it can happen for them, Thomas. Me as a casual hockey fan. Hampus Lindholm just came back from injury like two or three games ago, and he played great in his first game back. Then he makes this play last night, which, I mean, he's not involved with scoring the goal, but he got us the puck and led the breakout. An awesome play. And he was one of the best defensive players in hockey last year. So that puts him into an awesome frame of mind. He gets it to Marchand, who's our captain, who takes it down the ice, and the flip pass where it's not straight on the ice, he's got to put it in the air a little bit to get it over the defender's stick. Just like an amazing pass by him, the captain, who's like, all right, dude, let's go win the game. He's leading the charge. He's the captain. Hits the stick of DeBrusk, a guy who so many people have criticized, and he's like, he's playing great this game, and then he disappears for three games. For the last 2 weeks, I've seen this cat balling out, and for him to nail the game-winning goal is just like, this could set him off on a trajectory where he's going to be a huge producer in the playoffs. I really think that's what's going to happen, Thomas.
Well, I think you're right there. I think it's one of those things that you've got to give him a little benefit of the doubt there, though. Jake DeBrusk is still considered somewhat of a young guy. Not a rookie, not like his first couple of years, but he's still a young guy, right? So he's still there where it's kind of hitting his stride for the next 4 or 5 years, where I think you're right. He can become like a really solid player and even increase his scoring ability. And, yes, you know, the way he plays right now, if he can keep this going, he'll definitely increase the Bruins' chances of winning that Stanley Cup.
How great does it feel to be in the locker room afterwards and you're celebrating as a teammate with all three of these guys and Linus Ullmark now, who's playing great in goal? Like, you just feel like something is turning. I bet you inside of that locker room, and it's this overtime victory, 25 seconds in or whatever. Maybe it was 35, but I think it was 25 seconds in. Like, Bruins just came out and were like, dude, we're just going to end this right now, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. That feeling carries over into the locker room, and now we're going to forget all the other losses that we had in overtimes or shootouts, especially if we do it again in the next overtime game we play. It's like people are like, oh, they're losing these close games all season long. None of it matters. What matters is the playoffs, and a game like last night, I'm telling you, is going to set that team afire in the locker room.
100%. Guys have short memories in the locker room, and all they're going to remember is we won that last overtime game. They're not going to think about what happened before. The last game is the one that matters, and they did win it. Who cares if it was 2-1 or 5-1? They won, right? So they're going back in, going like, this is the turning point. We're going strong for the next 14 games, and we're going to have an awesome run in the playoffs. That's all they're thinking, man.
Agreed, and it's because of who was involved with it. Again, Lindholm, an incredible defensive player, just come back from injury. You're a big reason why we won. The captain leading the way, Marchand, with probably the best play of the entire goal, right? Like he did the hardest part of the job, really, with that pass and taking it the right angle down the ice. And then he feeds the dude with the potential that everybody in the locker room knows. If you watch Jake DeBrusk, like, he's physical when he plays, when he wants to. He checks when he gets in corners. He can win shooting the puck. He can set up shop in front of the net and put in rebounds. He can make a nice, like, scoring play with talent with the stick, going through people and getting a shot on net. I just think all the pieces coming together, Thomas. I'm excited.
100%. And we know, and you look at all those three guys, we'll call them almost the fourth. All four of those guys need to be awesome in the playoff in order for the Bruins to win something, right? You need your best players to be on top of their game. And when they are, they're going to have a chance. So it'll be interesting. Every one of them knows that they're going to have something to prove from the way it ended last year. They again had a great regular season, but it all matters in the playoffs. For an organization like Boston, for our fan base, for the way they've been playing for the last, call it a decade, they're always good. Ultimately, it only matters how well they do in the playoffs.
You got it, Thomas. We're gearing up for a big playoff run. Thank you. Have a good Friday out there. This is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We'll be right back here on NHTalkRadio.com. Love it. I love when Thomas Polk comes on the show. He's so nice. He's always looking to agree with me, I will say. I for you listeners out there, has there been a time where I've said something to Thomas Ben? Oh, no, Slim. No. No. I love when he goes, oh, 100%. That's his thing to transition in. And I think it's great. Just he's such a nice guy. And this is why I'm happy to promote him. You hear that commercial. Thomas Polk has been my health insurance advisor or broker for the last like 5 years, and I've had multiple conversations with him during the 5 years about, well, hey, maybe I should do this, or the family, this and that, changes in work. And his answers always were what's best for me and to think about me, not what it was best for him. I said, well, wait a minute, no, you'd make more money if we did things the other way, right? And he said, yeah, but this is not, you know, that's not for me. I want to give you the benefit of my knowledge. You make your own decision, but, you know, and I think this is what's better for you. And I just always appreciate a salesperson, quote unquote, who's actually thinking about me. So for people out there that have health insurance questions, you're self-employed, I would tell you, this is a dude to have as a contact. You don't have to be making any changes today, but when the time comes, you're going to want to reach out to him. So for people that need his contact info, if you didn't write the phone number down, you can find me Sports Machine NH at all the social media stuff. Sports Machine NH on Twitter, on Facebook, I think even on Instagram, but I'm terrible with this stuff. So you reach out to me, we'll get you hooked up. The Boston Celtics. Let's get the Boston Celtics hooked up here with some conversation this morning. And I'm going to tell you, last night was basketball night for me, baby. I did watch the Bruins. But I was hardcore. I stayed up till 12:30 watching the Boston College Eagles. Oh, what a game that was against Virginia. Oh my goodness! If you had BC plus the points, you're not too happy about that last second shot that went in. But I was rooting for them. I was rooting for BC all the way, baby. I don't care. I wanted them to win that game. They played their hearts out. And in fact, I want to have their coach on the air here. Earl Grant, I think, is the name, the coach of BC. He's building something over there. I hope he stays. I hope he doesn't get pried away, because I like that dude. He ripped off his coat at one point in the last minute of the game. But let's save that for later on. Boston Celtics. I wrote down in the first half against Phoenix last night. We beat them 127-112. I wrote down in the first half, because I'm watching the Bruins, I'm watching the college basketball, I'm all over the place on the TV, right? Thankfully, my wife went to bed early last night. It was so good. I put my son to bed. I come downstairs. I turn on the TV. I get to watch the sports. There's like 3-4 different things going on. And I'm waiting, as is the situation with most nights, for my wife to come down. And then she comes in and I'm like, all right, I got to, you know, put on her TV shows somewhat. I feel guilty if I dominate the TV every single night. You know, I want to spend the time with her, but I want to watch the sports, and selfishly, you know, I want to watch the sports, but also I need to prepare for the next day's show and tell people what's going on. Well, with the Celts, and last night, she doesn't come back down. It was really great. So, one thing I wrote in the Celts is I'm watching the first half with Phoenix and the Celtics, Jaylen Brown going to the hole yet again. Talk about, I mean, we were talking about 3-4 months ago. Stop shooting the threes. go to the hoop, Tatum. Brown now, though, has taken over the role over Tatum of being the guy that's like, I'm getting to the rack. And for all the times crapped on the guy because he lost the ball dribbling, man, I will pat myself on the back. Hold on. I'm just going to pat myself on both shoulders. Because I have said to myself, screaming from my couch and standing up in my living room, irate, that he needs to stop hesitating with the dribble. Don't dribble just to mess around. Get the ball, go to the hole. Dribble to the hole. You're fast. They're not going to stop. And lo and behold, man, I was right. I am one heck of a basketball coach. I am telling you, people, you put me in coaching these NBA teams. I'm telling you, they're going to be better. I am that full of myself. You think I'm a good sports talk radio host? I am a better basketball coach. I am 100% a better basketball coach. I can't wait for the days when I'm coaching at a higher level because I'm going to destroy coaches on the other team. Just 100%. You can look at a basketball player and know what their talent is if you know the game. Jaylen Brown's is not dribbling through traffic and people. It is going by somebody, getting to the hole. Who do I want to go by right now? I think I want to go by the next caller that's on the line. Let's get him right onto the show. Go ahead. Welcome in, caller. Welcome yourself. Pat yourself on the back.
Slim, this is the pistol, and I hear you talking Jaylen Brown, and I like what I'm hearing. Jaylen Brown is going to the rack, and can you believe what we're getting out of him right now? Last night, he was a machine. Against Denver, he was a machine. Who do we need to go to in the last minutes of the game? Jaylen Brown.
My brother Dave said it the other day, Pistol, and when he said it, I was like, yeah, wait a second. If you are going to give him the ball all game long offensively and tell him to go create his stuff, you need to do that for him at the end of the game. Jaylen Brown, I think, may end up being our closer in the playoffs, dude.
I mean, that Tatum clock may not get reset at all, and we're talking sports machine with the Pistol later this year, next year. Jaylen Brown looks amazing. He looks like the best player on the team. I can't believe how good they're looking, taking the ball to the rack. And Tatum, he can hang out there at the three-point line for all I care. Let's just get the ball to Brown. My biggest, where I'm most nervous is Miami used to be able to get their hand on that ball and knock it away from him, right? Get those loose balls. And when the playoff defense comes, is Jaylen Brown going to be turning the ball over 10 times per game? That's the big worry, is that could happen again.
Well, what you're excited about is what I'm excited about, Pistol. It's that Jaylen Brown, for some reason, has elevated his game energy-wise and mentally. You can see it where he's like, I'm going through people. I'm going to go through you if you get in my way. And he's done it in a manner where he's not getting called for offensive fouls. He's like under control. This has all been a mental switch since the All-Star break. I don't know what it is, the dunk competition and him getting booed by fans, whatever. He has an incredible amount of vigor, and it's on the rebounding side of things too, Pistol. It's all around what he's doing.
Yeah, he looks like he's been lifting in the gym every day. That guy is coming with a lot of testosterone and just better watch out. He's always had the athleticism.
Right.
But I just never thought he'd reach this level of play. And my only worry is, does it drop down in the playoffs when, you know, you've got a Jimmy Butler on you, right? Or a guy who's like, can play physical against you. But he looks amazing right now.
It's and natural he looks like to doubt.
Pistol. He looks like the best player on the team.
It's natural to doubt what he's going to do in the playoffs because we've seen it too many times. But what I will tell you is he has not done in the playoffs what he's learned to do here in these last 10 games or so, which is I'm going to the basket. You cannot stop me. Just mentally think this like a robot. And once you do it and you're successful, something changes inside of you as a basketball player.
Absolutely. Like, he just has the confidence, right? He believes in himself. Exactly. And he's getting it done. He's getting it done against the best teams, right? Like, he was the man against Denver. He was, he was the man last night against Phoenix. And, like, against the tough teams, he just feels like he's got to play that much harder. It's awesome to watch right now.
It is. And I give Joe Mazzulla some credit. I will say, did you see last night he tried to block the shot of a guy who was, like, shooting a three after the timeout was called on the other team, and he was shooting it on the Celtics end, and Joe Mazzulla made an effort to go and try and block the shot, like literally jumping up in the air full throttle to try and block the guy's shot?
I didn't see that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, they were talking about it after the game, Scalabrine. I think I have a clip that I could open up next segment with about Mazzulla, and I'm just like, he gets some credit for what's going on with Jaylen Brown, too. I mean, he certainly hasn't stopped the guy. Jaylen Brown is much better than he's ever been in his career these past 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, we got to get hyped about him. The tough thing with the Celtics now is they got a bunch of cakewalk games coming up, right? With two against the Hawks, two against the Pistons, the Wizards are on the schedule. There's a couple of good ones with the Bucks in there, but got a lot of easy teams right now. So they're going to be, I mean, like the game against Utah, they're just hard to watch when they're so much better than the opposing team.
Don't build bad habits. I said it on Monday or Tuesday when Jaylen Brown, I think, was 1-for-8 and Tatum was 2-for-8 from 3-point line. I said 3 out of 16 because you're playing bad teams. You're still winning. Don't come into these games and shoot that a 3-pointer if you're 1-for-7. I don't care if you're up by 30. You cannot build these bad habits. Mazzulla, put them on the bench. This is what you're talking about, is these bad teams don't build bad habits. Keep doing what we're doing right now, because that's what you're going to need to do in the playoffs, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and you know what, I'd like to see him do is at the end of quarter, let's see if we can go to Jaylen Brown in the final, like, you know, 10 seconds of a quarter, right? Like, call a timeout, call up a play, go to Jaylen Brown, right, where it's a moment that, like, doesn't necessarily matter, but can we start to get used to giving him the ball, you know, in, like, final second situations?
To get Tatum A-okay with Brown being the guy, too, because if Brown's the guy, Tatum's standing there watching pistol. Let's see. We got to go to commercial break here. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.3 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You know you're in the right place. NHTalkRadio.com. Welcome back, Carter. Welcome back to the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio. And guess what? Welcome back to the pistol. Let's go old school TV shows for a second. Pistol, did you ever watch Welcome Back, Carter?
No, I did not.
Johnny?
But I did watch Andy Griffith.
Well, I didn't want, I guess you are from Vermont, so I guess, is that what the hip thing to do back in Vermont was, to watch Andy Griffith? Wasn't there whistling in the preview for that show?
I think it was one of those shows that was on before school, so I would just flip it on and watch, you know, old school black and white TV.
That explains a lot, Pistol. Welcome back. I'm glad you got to come back. John Travolta was on Welcome Back, Carter, and that was an amazing, amazing show. You should check it out sometime. Do you want to hear any of the discussion with Joe Mazzulla from last night? I did send it to myself on Twitter, so I could play a little bit of his post-game interview about the block. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, let's go. This is from NBC Celtics broadcast.
There at the end, what led you to do that, and what did you kind of see there that made you do that?
I saw a guy going in to try to get a shot, and he hadn't made one, and I didn't want him to feel good about himself going to the bench. Gary asked me about that a month ago, and that's the bench rule. Guys don't shoot shots in front of our bench to go back to their bench to feel good about themselves.
Can you hear that, Pistol?
Yeah, I heard that.
It wasn't that loud on my phones, but that's pretty cool. That, and we've talked about this earlier in the season with the Celtics. Like, something needs to change for us to break through and win it all this year. And who's the tough guy on the team? And it's like, is it Joe Mazzulla? Can your coach be the tough guy? I don't think that's a great idea, but in this case, it seems like he is.
I mean, it's nice to bring some attitude, right? Because I just feel like the Celtics are going to be a soft team, and the way that people are going to beat them is to out-tough them on the court, right? And we've got to get rid of that perception, right? We've got to prove that we are tough enough. We've got to prove, and so, hey, if it starts with the head coach, that's great. I've never felt like Mazzulla's that kind of player. I've never felt like Tatum's that kind of player. I've never felt like Jaylen Brown's that type of player. I certainly don't feel Porzingis is that type of player, right? But we've got to find it somewhere. It's got to be from someone. So, that's awesome. It reminds me of when Garnett used to never let a ball go in the basket, right? He would basically goaltend any shot that anybody threw up.
It's the exact same type of thing. But with Mazzulla doing this, Pistol, I'm just wondering if, like, that mentality is starting to wear off on Jaylen Brown. I don't know if it's from what happened at the All-Star break, but something mentally, I have seen it more and more this year. Have you noticed Jaylen Brown like doing the you're too small stuff, the flexing, the kind of talking trash during the games? And you know, I got on him a few times for talking trash in the games and then losing the game afterwards. Like, dude, you can't talk trash during the game like that and then not produce when it comes winning time. But now it just seems like that talking trash maybe was the precursor to him actually being like, wait a minute, I'm going to physically back up the way that I'm kind of talking.
Yeah, you love the trash talk when you can physically back it up, and it's a whole lot more fun watching that than it is watching Tatum complain to the refs after every call. The way Brown is playing right now and the two small stuff just makes you laugh. It's really funny, and he's starting to back it up, so it's legit.
Exactly. And this is where, imagine if this guy can do that during the playoff run and then lead us to a championship. Like, dude, Jaylen Brown will be the man around here. You know why? Because Tatum hasn't. Like, Tatum gets all the adulation, if that's the right word. He's got the fame, and everybody says he's the best player. And I still will say, talent-wise, he is the best player. But the mentality is what separates things come playoff time. And the Miami Heat have a collection of guys on that team that have that dog mentality. Like, we're going to win. The Celtics have been lacking that. We've had the most talent in other years. You don't remember this last season? This was the talk amongst the media people. Celtics are the most talented team. It doesn't matter in basketball at some level. You need toughness and just a refusal to lose. If Jaylen Brown can be that guy, I would be all for it.
I mean, wouldn't that be shocking? When you think about where Jaylen Brown came from, right? His rookie season was a rough season for him, right? He came out as a freshman. He was terrible. All I could say is Danny Ainge really screwed up the third pick in the draft, right? We should have got Jamal Murray, right, or somebody else. He was really bad. But every season, he's brought it together a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And this season, he truly looks like maybe he should be the one that we're talking about as an MVP candidate and not Tatum, right? And so it would truly be shocking if he became not only the best player on the team, but the toughest player on the team. And if that is possible, like, it's something that I just never thought possible.
Think of the best players in the world as the one aside here. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. The best players that we've seen in this league, even a Dwayne Wade, it started with like the refusal to lose, the competitiveness, the desire. I don't remember those guys all the time complaining to the refs. Now, LeBron certainly has been a complainer, but just like, I'm going to win and you cannot stop me. If Jaylen Brown morphs into it, I will be so happy. But I will tell you, we better not let Tatum hear this interview, Pistol, because it's going to make him upset, dude. He's not going to like to hear that other fans are talking about Jaylen Brown in this way and not him. He's going to want to be the guy.
I mean, we need to start talking about it. Tatum came in and was great as a rookie, right? And you saw all the skill immediately. And it wasn't the way Brown came in, where Brown had to work and work and work to get there. And I just feel like at this point, Brown is overtaking Tatum. And Tatum needs to step back and be, you know what, dude, you can be the guy like hanging out on the 3-point line waiting. You know, maybe you can get a couple of, we'll give you the ball in the first quarter when it doesn't matter too much.
Well, but what about Tatum, his decision, and it's definitely been a dedicated decision for him to be a playmaker. He's the best playmaker on the team, Pistol. He really is, like, the distributor, the passes, the vision. He's better than Jrue Holiday. Derek White is kind of up there, but I would still say Tatum is the best decision maker and best vision ball player. So I hope he's okay with saying, that's my role to success, and let Jaylen Brown do what he's best at, which is go to the hoop, dude. Set the tone for us. Set the tone for the whole team.
Right. It's like, why can't he play Scottie Pippen's role?
Exactly.
Right? Like, why don't you just be Scottie Pippen? Jaylen Brown will be our equivalent of Michael Jordan, the guy who's, you know, shooting the ball all the time and taking the last second shot. I mean, think of what Phil Jackson did back when Pippen was the man on the team. Jordan was retired, and they needed to win a game, and they go, you know what? We're going to Kukoc on this final shot. And it's because there wasn't the confidence that Pippen would make the shot and could score the basketball. And Pippen ends up sitting on the bench. Kukoc goes out there and nails the game-winning shot. They both walk off winners.
You said it, man. Let's see. I mean, this is what the last 15, 16, 17, whatever games are left in the regular season. That's what this is all about. Tatum needs, if there's a problem with what's going on, he needs to verbalize it now. Don't stew on this, but we need to play this way as a team that we are going to play in the playoffs. And if Jaylen Brown is going to be your number one scoring option, as he has been since the All-Star break, I'm fine with it. But be prepared to go that route all the way in the playoffs and see how long it's going to take us. Don't be trying to switch things up midstream. So with Missoula, I got some questions on that. Let's just talk real quick about Phoenix, Pistol, because I remember during their offseason when they signed Bradley Beal, when they got him, everybody was like, oh, look at this big three over here with Booker and Durant. And I was just like, dude, none of those guys are like distributors. You need a point guard. That Beal signing was horrible. I'm right on that. It's been proven, right?
Yeah, I mean, Beal has started to look better. He didn't look very good all season, but these games where Booker's been out, I think Beal has started to look better and better. But that team, you know what, I don't think they need much, but you're right that they need a point guard really badly, like a guy who can just help distribute a ball to all of those shooters. I mean, I like Nurkic in the middle. I think he does a great job on the boards, and sure he's does. A smart player. So you're talking about, like, who's the point guard for Minnesota? If they had that
Mike
guy,
Conley.
Yeah, if they had Mike Conley, I think that'd be good enough.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know what good enough is because the West is jam-packed loaded out there, so I don't know if they would automatically be the best team. But and I just kind of feel like those guys aren't winners. I mean, if Kevin Durant was that big of a winner, he would have stayed right at Golden State and been winning like every single title for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, I mean, I do like how Durant does step up most of the time in the playoffs. He's not a guy like Harden who just fades away and can't do anything. But... you know, it's hard to see Phoenix pulling it together. Those three guys haven't played much together. I do think Booker and Durant step it up in the playoffs, but they don't really have a lot other than those two guys.
I'm so glad to beat up on them. I'm just glad to have a team of stars that we're playing against, Pistol, and the Celtics roll in like, hey, we're just going to beat these dudes easily twice, two times in the last couple weeks. College basketball, it's coming up here, and I know my brother Dave will be calling in to talk college basketball next segment. Do you have any teams that you really love? Because I would love to be able to pick against them starting next week. Who are you into?
I've been trying. Mostly followed Big East and Big East by UConn.
Best conference in basketball. Pistol.
Yeah, UConn, I think, is definitely the best. I do think Creighton is a sleeper, although they lost in the Big East tournament.
They're a little slow, but they are very smart. That's a good team.
Yeah, that's a team that, like, keep your eye on them. And I just think the conference is really good. Like, even, like, I thought Seton Hall was going to be able to squeak into the tournament. Now that they lost in the Big East tournament, they might not get in. But I mean, I think UConn is a heavy favorite. I've tried to get into other teams. Like, I tried to get into Duke, but Duke just doesn't look good enough to me.
Soft. There we go. So you know what we're talking next week, Pistol. You call in whenever you want. We're talking college hoops next week. Stay tuned, everybody, because you're going to get some college hoops today on the next segment here. Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, New Hampshire. 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hold tight right where you are. Friday, and we're back. The Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio. I'm happy to be here today to tell you all about my night last night with college basketball, and I'm going to have some help with this. My brother Dave is on the line. I'm assuming, Dave, that you watched college basketball all night last night, too. If you would.
Good morning, Slim. I did.
You did.
Absolutely. This is my favorite pastime. I told best couple of weeks of the year. I will do nothing but watch basketball for pretty much the next 2 weeks, and my wife will not like me very much, but she will deal with it.
You want to know a quick story about me and my wife this morning?
Sure.
I am dressed like a bum today. I have rips in my pants, and I have a Celtic shirt that I've had now for many years, and it's got rips in it up top. And my wife looks at me this morning and goes, "You're not going to wear that to work, are you?" And I went, "Yeah. Yeah, I am, because I just love Celtics, and I don't care. I love this shirt." She goes, "Can I sew the holes in it, please, real quick? Can I sew those two holes?" I said, "No, I like it this way." How about that for laying down the law by me?
Right, hands off. This is Celtics gear. We like it in its authentic, original form. We do not need it to be touched manipulated, molded, or have cursed by your hands.
Don't touch my shirt. Hands off my shirt. Exactly. Yeah, my shirt wasn't too lucky for me yesterday. I will say the Boston College Eagles, boy, I watched that game all the way. It was so back and forth with Virginia. What an incredibly competitive, great, fun game to watch. BC battled. They were down by two. Dude makes a shot with no time left on the clock to send it into overtime, and then BC just was gassed. They couldn't do anything. Did you watch the game?
I did. It's so funny because, you know, in the gambling world, Boston College and the Marquette game, mm-hmm. both went to overtime, and both games that look like guaranteed winners both end up coming up just with buzzer beaters, or one that was called off in the other game, and then the other two teams both covering overtime. A gambler's worst nightmare.
Yes, some people who had two out of three on parlays and lost on the BC game plus the 5.5 may have been hoping that they actually lost or you know, missed that last second shot, but not me. Not me. I'm a tried and true Boston College Eagles fan, so they came up short. Nice run. That post kid is a real talent. He'll play in the NBA, I believe.
Yeah, he could stretch the floor. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he's a little weak. He got his
he's weak.
He tried to make a post move with 2 minutes left, and the defender was able to just really shut him down from Virginia. I think his inside game is probably not where it needs to be to play at that next level. But, I mean, he's got a shot because he can stretch the floor as a big.
Yeah, and I will say it was his third game in 3 days, and also they had gone to him, like, literally every single possession of the second half. So you would expect the seven-footer to be tired. I'm with you, though. He needs some polish, but I just see a lot of skills there. What was your biggest thing? I mean, I took notes here. Duke, NC State. Duke gets taken down. Why? Because they are soft. Filipowski is a soft, soft, soft big man. I'm here to say it. Iowa State, they beat Kansas State, right? Iowa State is a team of tough dogs. Arizona takes out USC easily after USC upset them the other day. Marquette, Villanova. What game you want to talk about?
I mean, I thought the biggest game to take something away from was North Carolina, Florida State. You know, and I've been on North Carolina for months. I've been telling everybody I think that's the team to beat. I still sit here, and I'm even more confident in that pick. You watch them, a lot of upperclassmen. They went into that game. They were up 46-27. I know Florida State banged a three with no time left in the first half to make it 46-30, but that game was never close. And you watch all these big conference games, you watch a lot of these two seeds go down, three seeds go down, whether it was Creighton or whether it was somebody from the Big 12 end up lose. I mean, you have a lot of big teams. North Carolina was focused. I think that team is primed for a big postseason run.
I'm with you. I like Tennessee. I'm going to stick with them. They're playing, I think it's Mississippi today, favored by 10. We'll see what happens there. I'd expect Tennessee to come out with a focused attitude after they lost their last game to Kentucky. I will say with Providence and Creighton last night, Providence was like the number 8 seed or something, 11 seed in the Big East, Dave. They came out looking, man, really, really competitive and talented. And Creighton, led by Big Cockbrenner, the big man in the middle for them, he's been a big contributor all year long, Cockbrenner, but he just didn't have it last night. And Creighton goes down, unfortunately, because I liked them. But Providence, I don't see why they can't move on and maybe even win this tournament, too.
Yeah, listen, Providence is a strange team. Sometimes they play real good. They had wins against Marquette and Creighton this year. Right now they back that up with another one against Creighton. Those are two legitimate teams that can make runs deep into the NCAA tournament. But they also have some terrible losses. I think that win last night probably ensures that they're into the tournament. I would guess Providence now has punched their ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And they can win any game. Right?
They can.
They've got a puncher's chance. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. I love what I'm seeing. You got it, Dave. I mean, what I'm watching, the Big East is the most talented conference, physical. I mean, guys that can create one-on-one offense. I see that like versus an Iowa State team that I think, same as last year, I noticed, I think they're going to struggle to play against a really tough defensive team. So we'll see as time goes on. Today's games, you have anything you're really watching? I'm watching Marquette. I'm just going to say, just the end of that Marquette game, Dave, for people that don't know, there was 2.5 seconds left on the clock. Marquette had called the timeout. Got the timeout. They got the ball out of bounds at half court, and Shaka Smart draws up a play where it's inbounded to the big man. A screen is set for a dude to roll to the hoop, and it worked perfectly. The big man turns, drops the pass in front of the guy. He catches it. He rises up. He shoots. He scores at the end of regulation. The game's over. No, no, no. It just was in his fingertip, and the shot got called back. So they go to overtime. Marquette wins. I think that's a big locker room thing because the coach drew up an amazing play out of timeout. Out of the timeout, Dave.
Yeah, listen, I think that it all depends with Marquette on what Kolek does. I mean, there's an expectation on that team. He's their best player. They played without him last night, and I agree. You get a win like that, and he said he could play if he had to. You know, so you know he's healthy enough. If he comes back and he plays, I think that's a huge motivational piece for Marquette as they make a run into the Big East. But we'll see what his decision is today and what the team decides to do. Like I said, I think if Kolek plays, yeah, Marquette's primed to win that Big East tournament. I think St. John's and UConn is going to be a great game today.
Is it?
We talk about the depth of the Big East. Rick Pitino is one of the best big game coaches in college basketball history. He's always had a history of getting his team into these kinds of spots and pulling off these upsets. I think that's another one. It's an opportunity, right? If St. John's goes into UConn or goes into that game and they beat UConn today, boy, watch out for St. John's in the tourney.
Well, this was the team that Pitino laced with a tirade like a month and a half ago, saying that our lateral defense is pathetic and this and that. Since then, they've obviously responded to that public criticism, which some people got upset with Pitino for doing in the media.
Yeah, but his team has responded. And that's why, like, he knows what he's doing with his team. I mean, he always has it, at least in the college level. When he went to the pros, it didn't work out so well. But at the college level, he's always had his finger on the pulse of his team. And I don't think it was coincidence that they pretty much led start to finish yesterday. And now they've earned this spot with this game against UConn. And they put themselves in a position to actually make a real tourney run, which is amazing. Nobody would have said that a month ago when that happened.
No, college basketball this time of year is so incredible. So what's the deal with Marquette? Because I'm on them. I just feel like in the locker room, the big thing with coaching, Dave, and we talked about this the other day, you and me on a call, where some of the kids are quitting. Like, I think they're going to play, I want mine, they're playing selfish ball, this is my last game, I just want to jack some threes, I'm not going to hustle on defense, and I just want to worry about offense. I'm seeing it play out with some of these lower-seeded teams. When you have a team that believes in the coach in basketball, it matters. When you know the coach is good and the players have buy-in, and I just feel Marquette with what happened last night is like, wow, this coach drew up that play, wow. And then we respond in overtime. A lot of times, you know, half of the time maybe, a team might wilt after that call gets taken off the board, the score. And no, they responded and they go in and they end up covering the spread too. So, I mean, I just see a lot of good things from Marquette, Dave. Am I reading too much into that?
No, listen, I think you saw it with BC. BC made the shot to tie it at the end of regulation. They wilted in overtime, right? That celebration piece, you know, before the game is actually over, that happens a lot in sports. And so that game, Marquette celebrated. I mean, I thought, and quite honestly, watching the replay, I still think Marquette might have gotten the shaft.
They did. You can't take that off the board.
That was 50-50.
Yeah.
There's no way that call should have come off the board.
Agreed.
They took it off the board. So whatever, you know, it happened. But, you know, for Marquette to regain their composure, and you could see it even when they were in the huddle. I mean, Iguodala, who's their second-best player, was, hey, whatever, we're going to be ready. Like, let's go. If it doesn't count, like, we're going back at it. And I love that. I think their leadership is great on that team.
So they're playing Providence today. And I, like I said, I liked what I saw from Providence big time last night against Creighton. But I will say, Creighton is slow. Okay, and they're methodical. They try to get it into the Cockbrenner in the middle. They have Stephen Ashworth, who's a small point guard I talked about on the radio show here a month ago, who I love. I think he was with Utah State last year, and he's a player and he's a competitor. But their basketball style is slow. Who's the shooter, Scheinbaum or whatever? He was cold as ice last night.
Yeah, Bailey Shireman.
Yeah, so, yeah, bad haircut guy, real bad haircut.
He
mustache.
Kind of is the... He makes that team go, right? When he's shooting well or when he's playing well, that team is really, really hard to beat for anybody. Yeah, but again, when a tournament is so deep and has 8 teams, 10 teams that actually can challenge it, that's why there's the odds in these tournaments, you know, for these teams to actually go out and win. Like, it's hard for UConn to go out there and win 3 straight games to win their conference tournament in 3 days, something they haven't done all year. That's why this time of year is so great. This week is fantastic. I got 3 picks today, Jim, if you want to hear them.
Well, we're on the way out here. Go ahead, jam them in real quick.
All right, I'm going to tell you, Virginia is going to beat North Carolina State tonight. Lock it in. Virginia's given 2.5. Florida is getting four from Alabama. Alabama's going out the first round of the NCAA tournament. They're going out again today. They're playing terrible basketball. Sign me up for Florida and North Carolina minus the 7.5 against Pittsburgh. Put them on the board. They're going to win big today.
MBD, my brother Dave. There we go. Take it for what it's worth. WKXL Radio. This has been the Sports Machine with Slim. Nice week for us. WKXL's 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have fun.